Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I'm so glad that you tuned in today. I mean, we mean that every day, but I just know today will be an hour of encouragement and challenge, perhaps. And we'll introduce our guest in just a moment. Ted, I should just want to highlight again, as we've been doing all this month, our partnership with FEBC and the Give a Radio campaign, and looking for many friends who've already given. Just saw a report the other day, thousands of dollars already committed, and we're so grateful for that. To provide a radio, and many of these are fixed tune, they're portable radios, they're hand-delivered to remote areas where, you know, the gospel, there's probably not a church available, and we're people are hungry for God's word, and so a $30 gift to givearadio.org has a far-reaching impact.
Preaching and teaching in a little box that's powered. That for every $30, that provides one radio, and it reaches about 25 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great opportunity to reach some unreached people groups.
We're doing this campaign through the month of June, so you can go to givearadio.org, or you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and find a link there. But we're going to talk about another unreached people group in our neighborhoods many times. I think we sometimes just don't really pay attention to First Nations people that are near us and living in many ways a completely different life, and have many challenges, of which we're going to address today as we talk about a wonderful activity that goes on every summer. It starts with a Warrior Leadership Summit, and that's a place where Native American groups come together to learn how to make a difference. And these young men and women then go out in ministry teams to reservations around the United States and North America. It's amazing.
Unique
outreach.
Unique ministry. I don't really know of any others that are doing it. There may be, but this is a pretty powerful one.
Well, and the one who spends his time riding the bus and praying, the little white guy in the bus, as he likes to call himself, Ron Hutchcraft, a veteran of youth and family work and president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, is the founder of On Eagle's Wings Ministry, a Native ministry, and we're honored to have him back with us today. Ron, so good to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Neil. You're one of my favorite people to be with on radio, and I should tell you that having been in youth ministry forever, I've been on a lot of buses.
Sure. Yep. They haven't gotten any more comfortable either, have they?
No, and we run out of bottles of whatever on the wall, you know, the song.
Sure.
Right.
Well, we're going to talk today about the wonderful ministry on Eagle's Wings. But, Ron, first I have to just say, and, you know, we talked just a few minutes ago, I was shocked and saddened to hear about your wife, Karen, your beloved wife, for many years, suddenly passing here just a few weeks back. I just want to just, on behalf of all of us here and listeners that know and love you and appreciate you, we just express our sympathy and condolences, and want to just know how you holding up. I mean, this has been a blow like none of us want or expect.
You know, a lot of times, Neil, people are, I think Christians feel sort of obligated to not talk about the grief and just talk about heaven at all. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But let me just say that the scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, we do not grieve. Now, if the Bible stopped there, I'd have a problem with the Bible. Yes, we do. Yes, I am. Yes, it hurts like nothing else has ever hurt. But it says, we do not grieve as others who have no hope. And if you can picture a scale, this has been my experience, if you can picture a scale, and on the one side of the scale is grief, and I will tell you, it is very heavy. It weighs in very heavy, and it just takes the scale all the way to the bottom. But if you know and belong to Jesus, and the person you love belong to Jesus, and you are standing on the 2,000-year-old promises of the only man who can guarantee eternal life, because he's the only person who's got it, because he's the only person who walked out of his grave and crushed death in the process and said, because I live, you shall live also. I have every reason. I know that I can put Karen's name in that verse, because my Jesus lives, my Karen lives also. And so on the other side of the scale is something called hope. Without Jesus, the scale only dumps on the grief side. But with Jesus, there's something called hope on the other side. It's not cross my fingers hope. It's not, gee, I hope this works out okay. This is what the Bible calls a living hope. It's a person. It's a death crusher. It's Jesus. And the hope weighs more than the grief. Does it take the grief away? Absolutely not. But the hope outweighs the grief. And the promise of Hebrews 6:19 is we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And my testimony is this, one husband to another, Neil, the anchor holds. The anchor holds. And the old song says that. It says, the anchor holds though the ship is battered, the anchor holds though the sails are torn. I fall down on my knees as I face life's raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Everything I have ever said about Jesus, believed about Jesus, preached about Jesus has been validated by the ultimate test there is. This Jesus is real. His hope and his peace are real. And while the grief continues, the peace has never left. And there's no way to explain it but for a living Savior. And in fact, we will in 4 days leave for to go to the people who Karen poured out her life for, and who broke her heart, who filled her heart, who she interceded for ferociously. And George Mueller said this. He said, God buries his workers, but he does not bury his work. And while Karen's part of the work is done, we know that the work she loved continues and is going to continue big time to go to the most broken people on the continent this summer.
Well, Ron, we grieve with you, and can't fully comprehend your loss, and know that I'm sure you have hard days, and so we just want to just pray for you. Just take a minute to pray for you, because we love and care for you. And Lord, we lift up Ron to you right now. Just we thank you for his absolute conviction of your faithfulness and your promises. Thank you that Karen knew that as well, and that we do have a hope that anchors us in the midst of these storms. So I ask that you would equip Ron, give him supernatural peace and strength for the ministry days ahead, and that you would surround him with your presence each moment, and bring others around him that can support and encourage him. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Neil, thank you for that. That's the greatest gift you can give me. Would you mind if I want to do it for two reasons, if I take a minute here to share some of the things that have come back, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tributes to my honey, that are a challenge to all of us, because what she did, any of us could do, that tell us the impact she had on lives. Can I do that?
I'd love it, because I know, as I understand, she was kind of, she was called Mama Hutch, right? I mean, she had as much passion for...
Well, she didn't call herself that. Yeah. Native American young men and women called her that, and the day I lost my wife, hundreds of Native American young men and women lost their mother.
Hmm.
And you would know that if you read the things that I have. I'm just going to skim through these, and you'll notice there is a theme, whether the words are explicit, she made me feel. Now, I'd like a listener to think, we're not just talking about one lady here. I think we all need to fill in that blank and say, how do I make people feel? I leave a trail. Everybody's leaving a trail. Here's what it says. She always let me know she loved me and was proud of me. She saved. These are all Native American young people. She saved my life. She always left me feeling closer to God. She always made me feel special. When I lost my mother, she spoke life back into me. You saved my life when I felt I couldn't fight no longer. You showed me unconditional love. When you were around her, you knew you were safe and you were loved. And Neil, this is from a young man who's actually in your listening area. And this touched me, and it said so much. When I was 12, we were on a reservation in Minnesota. I needed shoes, and by the way, this young man is 21 now. I needed shoes, and Mama Hutch wanted to buy me a toy, and I knew she saw how bad the shoes were. So I saw her give money to my mom quietly, and I won't ever forget that. They were cool because they were my first pair of Ojibwe moccasins, and I wore them to bed, Papa Hutch. They're in my bedroom Ojibwe collection. That's my memory of her. But don't be sad, because I'm going to buy a pair for some Ojibwe kid someday.
Wow.
And the reason I bring that up, Neil, is, first of all, I think that's a challenge to all of us. Because she said over and over again to young men and women, she would say, please, no, this isn't about me. It's all about Jesus. It's all. So if that's true, and this was Jesus radiating through her like the sun bounces off the moon, and the moon looks like it's got light, but it doesn't have any. It just is. It's just a reflection of the source. If she's basically saying, I'm just reflecting the glory of the sun, don't look at me. And if that's true, and you've got Jesus in you, any of us could leave a trail of people like this. And in fact, that's the challenge we're going to be giving, Neil, in a matter of days here at Warrior Leadership Summit to hundreds of Native young people from scores and scores of tribes all over the continent. Because our challenge to them in this WLS, this Warrior Leadership Summit, will be in honor of Mama Hutch because she meant so much to so many. And we almost couldn't not do that. But we're going to challenge people to be what she was. And that the seed has fallen in the ground and died, but it's going to bear much fruit. As young men and women say, I'm not just going to admire her, I'm going to be what she was. Because she's not here to be it, I will.
Amen. Ron, before we take a break, I'm just curious. I mean, everybody has different sort of passions. God, you know, imparts his passion, his gifts to each of us. I mean, why did Karen become so brokenhearted and passionate about Native American kids?
Well, you know, I think I would speak for both of us on this, Neil, and really our whole family are. I think Native young people have so much dynamic potential. They have such a deep spiritual nature. They can read a heart like nobody else. They have a warrior spirit. But all of the losses of all of the generations, the loss of land and culture and language and life, has come to fall on this generation of young people. And we have buried too many of them from suicide or violent death. We know the statistics. They are names. 75% of all deaths among our Native young people ages 12 to 20 are from violent acts, including homicide, suicide. And one out of three Native young Native women will be raped in their lifetime. Many of the young women that my wife worked with were victims of horrific sexual abuse and rape, and bearing the scars of it, and then making the awful choices young women make when they have felt like that's all they're worth. So watching these precious first people here on this continent, not in our generation being destroyed by outside forces, but more being destroyed, destroying themselves and living so self-destructively, it's broken our heart. And when you find people who are hope-starved and been hope-starved for too long and have waited far too long to hear about the real Jesus, not the one that was used often to suppress and take from Native Americans, not that one that isn't the real Jesus, that they deserve a chance to know this real Jesus, who happened to be a brown-skinned man from a tribe who grew up on land that had been occupied by other people, who lived poor, loved nature, told stories, died a violent death. Sounds like the reserve, sounds like the reservation. And they need a chance to hear about how much this Jesus loves them. And my wife poured out her life because we know what it is to be broken. And she knew what it was to be poor, growing up without indoor plumbing, growing up without electricity. She could relate so well, and to just give young men and women who think they don't have a future to show them who they are to God, how precious they are to Him, worth dying for, and that they have a future and they have a hope. And God says, "I have great plans for you and to give you a future and a hope." And she introduced him to that future and that hope. And we're going to be doing it with countless, perhaps thousands of Native young people over the next 6 weeks.
We'll talk more about it, the amazing outreach of On Eagle's Wings. We'll talk about the Warrior Leadership Summit coming up next week. We're just paying tribute to Mama Hutch, Karen Hutchcraft, passed suddenly here just a month or so ago. Ron Hutchcraft, a veteran of youth and family work, and you hear him regularly on the broadcast of Word With You. He is a dear friend, and he and his dear wife founded On Eagle's Wings Native Ministry. We'll share more about it in the moments ahead. You may have a story or a concern and would like to just maybe wish, offer a word of appreciation, love, and support to Ron. You're welcome to give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in just a moment. The power of the gospel and the hope that it brings, and hope especially for Native American. It's a powerful outreach that happens, really year-round, but in the summer especially, on Eagle's Wings, a Native ministry founded by Ron Hutchcraft and his beloved wife, Karen, who's now encouraging the next generation to carry that torch, that passion. There's a gathering coming up next week of Native American young people that are getting trained in discipleship and encouragement called Warrior Leadership Summit. And, Ron, I just want to give you a chance to talk about what that gathering really represents and give us a sense of give us a profile of who comes to this gathering. Who are these young people who have found hope in the midst of such terrible darkness?
Well, let's give a little context and then see the significance of why next week will be and always is a whole box of Kleenex or more week for me because of a mighty God at work there. Let's go back and realize that Native Americans were the first mission field in America, the first people to ever be, people bring the gospel to here were Native people out on the East Coast. And so we're looking at 400 years of history of trying to bring and introduce the first people of this continent to Jesus. Well, after 400 years, 4% know Christ. That's the missiology estimate. 4% know, 400 years of effort, 4% know Christ. Obviously, there's been a tremendous breakdown here. This is one of the sad stories of the Great Commission right here. Right down the road from some listeners, even here. So, it is not as a young person think you're going to follow Christ, boy, you feel alone. There's hardly any of you. You don't even know anybody else like you, and if you do, it's probably your grandma. And so, Jesus is for white people and old Indians. I jokingly say, but that's kind of how it is viewed. So there, to have a movement of Christ among Native young people has been unheard of. And missionaries in Indian missions will tell you that they have no, they cannot break through to the young people. They're impenetrable. Their hearts are hardened by pain and by sin, and they just don't really consider Jesus even an option. And so with all that in mind, and realizing that these young men and women are many of them from very impoverished backgrounds, to consider that next week there will be some 800 Native American young men and women, and any Native American adult who is a follower of Christ will understand. They'll go, "You're kidding. Is that happening?" Yeah. 800 or so Native American young men and women and First Nations from Canada will be descending from all over the continent to Warrior Leadership Summit, which is the only conference of its kind that we know of. It is a Native youth discipleship conference. It is talking about a Jesus for the res. I mean, this is.
I think we maybe lost Ron's phone here. I wonder if his cell dropped out. Ron, you still there? All right, let's do a reconnect here.
Oh, there's
you
know
what happened? What happened, Ron? All right, he's in the neighborhood, but we'll just
reconnect there.
Chris,
hi there.
There you go. You.
I'm so sorry. You know, I have magic fingers that hit a mute button and don't even know I did. It's really amazing. Where did you lose me?
We're just talking about, you know, the idea that there'd be 800 young people come and the Native youth, and there's no gathering like this. So say more about this is unique.
Well, that's good. You didn't miss much. I was passionately talking to myself.
Okay.
It really must have been pretty funny. Well, so this is like historic that you would have 800 Native young people from about 100 different Indian nations across Canada and the U.S. descending on in the center of the country to come together under the banner of Christ. They won't all know Christ when they come, but probably if it's like a typical Warrior Leadership Summit, somewhere between one-fourth to one-third of the young men and women there who have never considered Jesus an option probably will give their hearts to Christ before they leave. And most of the young men and women, Neil, who go with our On Eagle's Wings team then to reservations to declare the hope of Christ in the middle of that reservation on a basketball court in gatherings, unlike most missionaries tell us we've never seen anything like this, most of those team members, most of those young warriors, were those people who came to Christ at Warrior Leadership Summit in a previous year.
Wow. Well,
look in the counseling room, I'm like, there's tomorrow's warriors.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm gonna stop you right there because we do have a break coming up. We have to take and I want to just give the web address because you can get a Hope for Native America prayer kit if you go to hopefornativeamerica.com. Hopefornativeamerica.com. I want to make sure we give that out a number of times. In a moment, we're gonna have Ron just share a little bit more about this amazing group of people and how we can come alongside and pray and support and encourage them. This is frontline evangelism going on. We're going to hear about some of what happens in these team outings across the reservations across North America. You'll be challenged and encouraged, and you'll want to pray. So stay with us. Ron Hutchcraft talking about On Eagle's Wings today. HopeForNativeAmerica.com is the website. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. The hour. It's Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. So thankful to talk to dear brother Ron Hutchcraft today. He's a veteran of youth and family work, president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. You hear him on the broadcast, A Word with You. He's written several books, speaks around the country, and has a heart for First Nation men and women, and has founded On Eagle's Wings Native Ministry. Next week, there's a gathering, a Warrior Leadership Summit, it's called, where Native American young men and women gather. And after 400 years of mission history, there's a an amazing movement of God that's happening largely because of these passionate young men and women, and we're just talking a little bit about it. You can find out more, by the way, hopefornativeamerica.com. But, Ron, say a little bit more about, you know, these young men and women that come, they know the stories and situations, don't they? I mean, they've come out of the worst of it, haven't they?
Well, they do, and, you know, I'm so grateful for the people who make it possible for there to be a gathering like this, because these young men and women, you're talking about, you know, communities that have 60% unemployment, even up to 80% unemployment. So there's just such lack of resources, and so they pay $25 to come for a conference that probably costs for the week about $500. So we're so grateful that people are enabling young men and women to come, and you know, they're coming from for example, from your home base area there. The most densely populated Native community in America is a place called Little Earth in Minneapolis. You're probably familiar with it.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty violent, drug-infested, gang-dominated area to grow up in. Some great people, but some very desperate things going on there. And there's a whole group coming from there at the Warrior Leadership Summit, where they're going to come to the whole place. There'll be young people coming from a place that is 400 miles from the nearest road. It is on the Bering Sea in Alaska. They are Yupik Eskimo young people. And one of the young ladies who came to Christ at Warrior Leadership Summit, typical of so many, her name is Mary. She is from Hooper Bay, Alaska, that community I just described, where there's serial suicides there. It's awful. That's on a lot of reservations. The suicide rate among Native people is, among their young people, is three, depending on where you are, 3 to 10 times greater than the rest of the young people in America. Mary lost, in 1 year, she lost three very good friends to suicide just this past year. And then, boom, it was her brother right in their house who killed himself. I'm grateful to say that several years ago at Warrior Leadership Summit, somebody brought Mary from all the way from Hooper Bay, Alaska. It took a long time to get there. And she surrendered her life to Christ at that point. Little did we know that she was one of those many sexual assault victims that I talked about, one out of three Native women. The Lord took away her alcohol issue that she was becoming addicted to escape the pain of abuse. Which happens so often. And today, she's working in our office right this minute as I talk to you, Neil, helping get ready to reach other young people. And when she stands up and gives her story on those basketball courts, the young women of the reservation line up to talk to her and say, "You just told my story, and I've never told anybody what's happened to me. I want your Jesus." That's just typical of you know, so many who come. There'll be young men and women coming from a community way up in northern Ontario that you can only get to by a boat or a plane, and they bring a group every year, often one of our largest groups. And another place, serial suicide. When our team was up there, six-year-olds were out in the woods, unconscious from huffing gas, at the age of six, nearly dead. The hopelessness, the despair in communities like this is unbelievable. And then they walk into a room. They walk into this giant room and set up. You can tell it's a youth conference because it is first-class youth conference, no second-class for the first Americans and the first Canadians. And what happens in that room, though, is just geared to Native American young people particularly. And to come into that room and feel the vibe of hope when you walk in, and then either leave there with Christ in your heart or equipped to be a warrior for your people, this is what's going to help change 400 years of missions history that has largely not succeeded, Neil, is this growing young army of Native young people. Billy Graham said this some years ago. The Native American is a sleeping giant. He is awakening. The original Americans could become the evangelist who will help win America for Christ. Wouldn't that be just like the Lord? to go to the people who were almost annihilated, who almost disappeared, who have been at the bottom of American culture, who were the first people here, and use them to be the passionate warriors that would ignite the greatest movement for Christ ever on this continent. And I would just say to Mr. Graham that they are not just the sleeping giant. We know. We're watching them wake up, and we're watching the difference they can make. Because when they go to reservations and when they're the messengers, Neil, I'm a little white guy on a bus praying for them. That's my job. When they go out and they're the messengers, something happens on a reservation in terms of validating Jesus and making people want him that in most cases we are told has never happened before on that reservation.
Amen. Ron, say a bit more about, you know, for those that maybe haven't heard our discussions in years past, talk about what happens when you have a group, when the bus pulls up to a central community in the reservation. And, I mean, you mentioned basketball court. Is that you just find a central place to gather? What happens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I will say, by the way, for people who can't stay with us all the time because it's our lunch hour, if you go to hopefornativeamerica.com and God's doing something in your heart, and I keep praying that the circle of praying people who will allow God to touch their heart with the needs of the first people here. If you want to know more about that, there we've got this Pray for Native America kit. We want to empower you to make a difference, and that's hopefornativeamerica.com. Now, Neil, I want you to picture your kid on a reservation. Basketball is about all you have to do, and the basketball court is sort of the cathedral of the young Native people. So you show up, and here's this, out of this bus pours these Native young people who are from probably 35 different tribes, from everything from Eskimo to Navajo, and from Ojibwe to Sioux to Apache, and they came to your place. What in the world? And they come to house, and they invite you to come to the basketball court for some events. And honestly, Neil, it's very non-religious. It's very much about Jesus, but it's non-religious. And it doesn't feel like something, you know, that they would picture something Christian would be. So there's a three-on-three basketball tournament, and there's slam dunk competitions. And there's a challenge game between the local guys and our team, and they love playing the out-of-towners. And there's pizza, and there's one night, and there's snow cones another night, and so on. And there's music done by Native artists, and it's just a very exciting, electric event. Right in the middle of your reservation, where it seems like nobody comes and nothing happens. Well, in the midst of all that, the real story, don't tell anybody, is all of these Native warriors, these young men and women, 60 of them, that are moving around that event and just meeting young people. And they begin to tell their story. And they find out the story of the young man and woman, the local young man and woman that they're meeting. And all I can tell you is this, Neil, that when somebody open-heartedly shares their hope story, it opens an otherwise closed heart. And that's what happened. That miracle, I am an eyewitness to this, Neil. That miracle happens night after night. We'll be going to 11 reservations in about a 4.5-5 week period of time. It's grueling. We'll cover thousands of miles. We will be in the U.S. as well as crossing the border and being some Canadian Reserve First Nations people, and every night you will just see team members will come back to the bus with a prayer request. We'll pray. Later we'll find out the one we prayed for has broken through and given their hearts to Jesus. The final night, which is our challenge basketball game and pizza night and so on, that night there will be an opportunity if you either have during your visit there or you are that night choosing Christ for yourself to do something unheard of, to make a public declaration in a place where that's not going to be popular in front of all your friends, to make a public declaration at center court that you are choosing to give your life to Jesus Christ. Kneel on reservation after reservation after reservation, I sit there with tears in my eyes. I never get over it. As the Spirit of God comes down in the center of a reservation or a reserve and calls young men and women to this one who loved them enough to die for them, and they flood center court. It's just amazing to watch. Now, some things you need to know about that. First of all, they probably already have a personal connection with one of the team members, one of the young warriors. They are counseled that night. We don't call it a commitment until they have been walked through the gospel one-on-one, person to person, and then and prayed specifically to begin a relationship with Christ. Secondly, we work with partners on and around the reservation before we ever get them, and we train them on how to follow up and how to birth a youth ministry out of that great move of God. We don't want it to just be a moment. This is about a movement starting among the young people on a reservation. And I can tell you, even from reservations in your area, where youth ministries were born in the night that On Eagle's Wings were there, and now those people will be bringing a large group of people to Warrior Leadership Summit next week from the young people who have been part of an ongoing youth ministry. So there's something happening here. There is the giant is awake, and Native young people who have been considered the most broken, most devastated young people in North America, wouldn't you just know that a Savior like Jesus is using them to bring about what missionaries and pastors and a lot of white folks like me preaching the gospel have not been able to do? Our hearts have been there. Our efforts have been there. There have been small breakthroughs. But I have had a privilege of watching thousands of Native young people choose Christ. I can't find that anywhere in the mission's history of 400 years, Neil. It is so extraordinary. What a God we serve. It's their time. It's their time.
Amen. It is their time. Hope is the message, right? Hope through Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus. We're talking about Hope for Native America. You can find out more online, hopefornativeamerica.com. You can get a prayer kit. You can be a part of the support team that prays ahead, that supports along the way. And we're getting an update from Ron Hutchcraft about the work of On Eagle's Wings and about Warrior Leadership Summit. There's some 800 young men and women traveling from all across North America gathering next week for training, for encouragement, for a challenge, for a message of hope. And then they'll be going out for several weeks to 11 reservations. A lot of prayers needed. I want to encourage you to just sign up to be a prayer warrior for this important outreach. HopeForNativeAmerica.com is the website. Ron Hutchcraft will continue our conversation with him in just a moment. Stick around. You're listening to Connecting Faith. 877-933-2484 is our phone number. Maybe you're aware, if you know anything about history or current events, you know that life in Native communities comes with difficult challenges. Addiction, suicide, poverty, loneliness, and abuse hurts far too many. And so the message, the ministry of On Eagle's Wings is simple. It's hope. It's hope through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only hope that lasts. Ron Hutchcraft, founder of On Eagle's Wings, with his dearly beloved wife, Karen, who passed away suddenly here just a month or so ago. And we're just so honored to have Ron with us today. We hear him regularly on A Word With You, and just appreciate so much his years of ministry and youth and family work, and especially his heart for Native American youth. And I guess, Ron, you mentioned something kind of at the outset that Native Americans are spiritually sensitive, and is that maybe why there seems to be such spiritual darkness there? Because the enemy has drawn on that sensitivity, perhaps.
I find that Native people have an intuitive spirituality greater than any other people I've known, than my own folks, and a sense that whatever is your spiritual center becomes, it's holistic. It's about your whole life. It isn't just about a compartment. I go to church, read my Bible, and pray, check, check, check. It involves your whole life. And obviously our enemy would love to exploit that deep spirituality, and it works very hard to do that. He does that with any of us. And in the absence of any compelling presentation, especially presented by people from their own people of Jesus, there's a vacuum there. And Native people who are so very spiritual, it is easy for the enemy to exploit that by causing them to summon the spirit world on many occasions for many reasons. And in summoning the spirit world, the Bible does reveal to us, tragically, that if you summon the spirit world but you're not going through Jesus, that what you get is the other part of the spiritual world that brings darkness. You don't want it to be. You don't know that. They come in disguise, but so often it ends up creating a dark stronghold in people's lives. And so that is a part of it. But I'll tell you, the hope of Jesus is so compelling when you understand it. And you said this is about hope, and I'm so glad you emphasized that, because this is, we call it a summer of hope. The stories that our warriors tell to their people are called hope stories. And I got to thinking about the word hope. It's kind of a floaty word, you know. I hope. Hope. What is hope? How do you define hope? How do you know if you've got it? Well, for me, a definition of hope that works is it doesn't have to be the way it's always been. Now, where you live, you know what a long, cold, snowy winter can be like, right? Am I right about
true
that?
True enough, yes. Set. Thank you for the reminder, yes.
Yes, I know. It's only in Minnesota that I saw yardsticks on fire hydrants. That's right. but I'm like, what? But you know, in one of those deep snow years, and I've been up there during that time, you look around and you say, boy, this snow will always be here. It's never, I can't imagine this much snow going away. But we know there's a thing called spring. There's never been a winter without a spring. But hopelessness means it's always going to be winter for me. It's always been cold. It's always been dark. It's always been lonely. Hope, which Jesus represents, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Hope means things that never could change before now can change because of the power of a risen Christ who conquered death and can conquer the darkness inside of each of us. That'll be the message that will go out loud and clear from young men and women who are alive today and wouldn't be today were it not for the hope that they've discovered in Jesus Christ. By the way, Neil, you mentioned the website, hopefornativeamerica.com. Yes, people can go there and get a Pray for Native America kit, but if you would like to take the step of sponsoring one of these young men and women who are going to be going out all these weeks to 11 reservations, they don't have folks back home they can send letters to and raise money to go on a missions trip. There's nobody to write to. So they are supported by people who are listening right now, Neil, and by people like you and me. And you can find out there, if God so leads you, how you can sponsor a day of one of those warriors or a week or a month. You say, man, I wish I could go and tell them about my Jesus, but probably that wouldn't work. It wouldn't work even if I did it. But it'll work if they do. So they can't go without folks like us, but we can't go to that reservation and make a difference without messengers like them. It's a super gospel partnership. And if you would like to get daily or regular reports, every time we're on a reservation, we write front lines reports. People tell me it reads like the book of Acts sometimes, as the Spirit of God breaks out on reservations and reserves. If you'd like to get those frontline reports by email, there's a place you can sign up for that at hopefornativeamerica.com too. This is about building some partnerships right now, Neil, that will empower and enable and be decisive in the throne room of God, because we're going to places where Jesus, in some places specifically, we've been to some of these places once before, and they will come in and cover the ears of their children so they will not hear the name of Jesus. And there is fierce hostility in many cases. And so we're going to some very embattled places, and we need prayer warriors because they're going to decide the outcome for the front lines warriors, who will be a precious army of lives rescued by Jesus, Native American young warriors. We just need some folks like us to support them.
I'm going to ask Ron to just lead us in prayer here in just a moment as we close up our time, because this is a battle. And as Ron said, this is frontline work, and there are warriors, Native American warriors. They're getting trained up next week at the Warrior Leadership Summit. And as the mission of On Eagle's Wing says, empowering the most effective messengers to go with the most important message to the most desperate young people in some of the most unreached places of the country. I hope that your heart is stirred by it. Ron, would you just take a couple minutes and let's ask the Lord that he would do a great work this summer on the reservation?
Well, thank you, my friend. And I would ask the listener, wherever you are, you don't have to close your eyes or drive them, please don't. But if you would join your heart with us, and let's go to the throne room of God together. Lord God, we thank you that, as you told Moses years ago, you have heard the cries of broken people. And you said to him, I'm coming down to rescue them. And Lord, we believe that you have wanted the First Nations people of this continent to know about your son. Thank you that in our generation, something is changing. Something is moving. You have decided it's their time, I believe. And Lord, I just thank you for someone listening today who, before today or today, has opening their heart to this piece of your broken heart for a lost and dying world. Lord, I believe you want some more of us to care. You want some more of us to be informed. You want some more of us coming to your throne room on their behalf. And so I pray that there'll be people who will join in the move of God among the first people of this continent by joining in prayer right now, and then not leaving it in this hour, but making it a cause, making it a passion. I pray you would raise up a group of caring believers who will empower the greatest move of God among these amazing people there has ever been. May this be the Jesus generation among the first people of this continent. And we can ask for that because we pray for it in the name of a risen Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Ron, thank you so much for your encouragement to us today. And as you say, I mean, this is not just a moment. It's a movement, and hopefully not just a day, but this is really people saying, I want to be part of what God is doing for the next generation of First Nations people. So thank you for what you're
hallelujah.
Doing. Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Neil.
Ron Hutchcraft, a veteran of youth and family work, just means that he's been doing it for a long time, and we so love him and appreciate him. He's a visiting faculty member for the Billy Graham Schools of Evangelism. He's been involved in ongoing ministry outreach to Native Americans, founder of On Eagle's Wings Native Ministry. Please remember to pray for Ron and the team as they prepare for the Warrior Leadership Summit next week. Some 800 young men and women will be getting trained up and encouraged and challenged, and then going out to 11 reservations this summer. And please, if you would, remember to pray for Ron as he mourns the and grieves the loss of his wife, Karen, who passed away here just a little over a month ago. And we just want to lift you up, Ron, as you go in the rest of this week and in the days before. I believe that God will uphold you. HopeForNativeAmerica.com is the website. You can sign up for a Native America prayer kit and get up to date and make it a passion for prayer. HopeForNativeAmerica.com. Ron, God bless.
Thank you, my brother.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. You know, if you missed part of the show or you want to pass it on to a friend, we'd certainly encourage it. You can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. All our interviews or podcasts are shareable. It's a simple thing to do. Just go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com and pass it on to a friend. Thanks for listening.